I'm Roger Warren.
And I'm Chris Hoyt. And this is Spartan Speak, 1964-1965.
At one time or another, almost all of us were participants in one of the many rally assemblies that were held this year for the purpose of cheering the efforts of our football team, our basketball team, and our drama department.
Few of us anticipated where our football season would end, in a bid for the state championship. But then few of us anticipated just how spectacular and outstanding this 1964-65 school year would be for Corvallis Senior High.
We have long been proud of CHS because of its well-balanced activity program and the accomplishments of its students in many varied fields of endeavor: scholastic, athletic, musical, speech, business training, and other group and individual efforts. We invite you to join us now in a review of some of these accomplishments.
2 seconds left to go in the ball game. Corvallis leading 34-19, and they've got this game in the bag. A delay of the game penalty against a Corvallis. Now they're out of the huddle to the line of scrimmage. Let's see if we can pick up the gun as she sounds, and the crowd cheers. A mighty happy bunch. Robertson, back to pass. Yeah, he's keeping it himself around left end, down to the 20-yard line. There's the gun, ending this ball game, and watch him bob out onto the field. What a happy bunch of Corvallis High Spartans here this evening. Corvallis High winning the semifinal playoff ball game and earning the right to meet either Grant or Grants Pass up in Multnomah Stadium next Friday night. Let's pick up the band music.
With team effort, dedicated coaching, and student body support in unprecedented numbers, Corvallis fans were able to enjoy many a triumphant evening of football. Our football successes also had the complete support of faculty and administration, who dismissed school half an hour early so that we could all rest up for the game. We were also proud of the exceptional skills of All-American halfback Mark Gustafson. For an expert's view of the game, we'll talk to head coach Lee Gustafson.
Well, Spartans, we've just finished the finest football year in Corvallis High's history. It's been a wonderful year all the way through. We've had wonderful support from the student body. Our rally squad is as fine as we've ever had. And, of course, our football team itself is the greatest Corvallis has ever had. We started the season rather slowly by losing to Medford 7-6. And as I look back, we could have won the ball game if we could have made a field goal there in the last few minutes, but we missed and Medford came out on top. We won the next three games, one from Albany, one from Klamath Falls, and one from Hudson's Bay. And that ended our preseason schedule. We'd won three and lost one. And then was the big game against North Salem. And Corvallis has not beaten North Salem for a good many years. And each season, it seems that the first game with North Salem has always been our downfall. And this year, the team decided that it was time to make a change. We came through and beat the vaunted Vikings for the first time in a good many years, which led us into the state playoffs. The boys did a wonderful job when they got into the playoffs. We beat Pendleton handily, beat McMinnville, and in the final game, we ran into rain, mud, and the Grants Pass cavemen. Even though we didn't win the state championship, we got our second place and the finest year we have ever had.
And now for the final seconds of that exciting North Salem football game.
Clock running with 22 seconds left in the game. The officials time out the measures. They stop the clock. And Bob? Only 20 seconds showing the clock now, and whether they make this first down or not, they've still got another down to run. It looks like the Spartans have got this one wrapped up with a victory over North Salem for the first time since 1956.
Well, it certainly looks like it right about here, John. They can take a 5-yard penalty. They've got about 2 inches to go for the first down. They can kill the clock, even take the 5-yard penalty, but they've got 25 seconds to put the ball in play, so certainly they're not going to hurry to get that ball up there.
All right, Corvallis in their offensive huddle back upfield at the 20-yard line. Second,
or rather third down, and about a foot to go for the first down. The ball just outside. And the clock is ticking away, but there's the clock is ticking away, and it's all over. It's all over. Corvallis wins it, 19-14. And what a happy bunch of Corvallis High football players.
Our basketball season was another resounding success, and school spirit remained high under the leadership of a superior rally squad captained by Janet White. Community interest was also expressed through an increased attendance at home games, where gate receipts, plus student body vice president Dave Livingston's record sales of Spartan booster tickets, resulted in a balanced budget for the athletic department.
Head basketball coach Glenn Kinney gave this account of the season just passed.
Spartan basketball team got a late start this year due to the fine football season, but it didn't seem to hurt them. They had a fine preseason record of 6 wins and 1 loss. This was highlighted by their split with Klamath Falls at Klamath Falls. Klamath Falls eventually wound up as the state basketball champions. When the Spartans got into district play, they discovered that the district was real tough this year. Any team was capable of beating another, and in most cases they did by the end of district play. Corvallis finished in a tie for first place with Albany, both teams having records of 11 wins and 4 losses. They then had a playoff game in Gill Coliseum. This game was won by the Spartans, so they represented District 8 as the number one team in the state tournament. In the state tournament, the Spartans opened with a disappointing loss to St. Helens. They came back in the second round and beat Molalla, and then in the third round they played tough Grant High of Portland and lost a well-played ball game to Grant.
Three assemblies during the football and basketball seasons were especially impressive. The first was the assembly where CHS received the second place trophy for the state football playoffs, presented by Odin Hawes, Executive Secretary of the Oregon State Athletic Association.
4 years ago, I read in a paper where he was coming to Corvallis Senior High School. I told my associate at that time, Dr. Ryan, I said, watch, Corvallis High School will be playing in the championship game before very long. I was a good prophet, wasn't I? Again, may I congratulate this fine team and the coaching staff, and without further delay, I shall present the trophy to the president of your student body, John Pitten. Congratulations.
On behalf of the faculty, the student body, the football team, and the coaches, thank you very much.
When we prepared for the annual basketball jamboree at the start of the season, the student body assembled to practice their participation parts for the joint rally squad spectator competition. Rally squad captain Janet White explained the procedure, and then the rally squad presented their winning routine while the pep band directed by Wayne Koberstein provided the music.
We have very limited space tonight because you can see how our own student body fills up this gym. There are going to be 4 student bodies here tonight, and they're going to be plus parents, the faculties from the different schools. So in order for Corvallis to really show up, we're going to have to be in white surrounding our pep section. So please remember tonight to wear white.
Thank you.
Near the close of the basketball season, prior to the big Corvallis-Albany game, the school mourned the death of the Bulldogs in a mock funeral for the Bulldogs on the patio staged by the rally squad.
The mourners, tearful, are following behind.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here at this hour to mourn the passing of and pay tribute to the Albany Bulldog. It passed away on March 12th, as it did battle with the Corvallis Spartan. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should bury this Bulldog in effigy at this time, for its luck has run out. As I look back, I can only think of one good thing to say about this Bulldog, and that is that it lived only 10 miles from Corvallis. Before we can be sure that this Bulldog will forever rest in peace, we must remember that we have to make one last soaring effort tonight to finally put it where it belongs.
Corvallis High's achievements were just beginning. Wrestling season was an even greater success, with a CHS team winning the state championship and bringing home another beautiful trophy to add to our shining collection. For an account of these victories, we interview head wrestling coach John Platt.
Corvallis High Wrestling had a pretty good year this year, as they ended up state champions in state A1 competition. The dual meet season ended up 22-2 for Corvallis. They won three trophies, one in the District 8A dual meet championship, one in the District 8 tournament championship, and then, of course, the big state championship trophy at the end of the year. The highlight of the year undoubtedly was the state championship, in which we had two fourth place finishers in Bob Hansen and Ed Coombs, one runner-up in Dave Thomas, and two champions in Jim Blackford and Nick Paisley. The highlight of the season probably came the night of the finals, when Jim Blackford went out against undefeated Terry Crenshaw from Grants Pass. The winner of that match would be the state champion and would probably bring the state championship to their high school. And in this match, Jim Blackford pushed Terry Crenshaw all over the mat and ended up pinning him in the third round, which brought not only Jim a championship, but also Corvallis High School championship. All the boys who were out for wrestling contributed a great deal. All the boys that scored points in the tournament contributed a great deal to the success we had. All in all, the wrestling at Corvallis has come a long way, and we were proud of our 1965 wrestling team.
At the time this annual goes on record, our track team under Coach Mel Boldino is undefeated. In addition, our baseball team, coached by Jim Withrow, is leading their league.
Meanwhile, the Girls Athletic Association, in its second year of existence at CHS, has found nearly 100 eager participants in the 7 sports programs which were offered. Volleyball, with over 60 enthusiastic girls on 6 intramurals teams, was the first sport of the fall. A and B teams were chosen to compete interscholastically, and the girls had a highly rewarding season with 8 wins and only 1 loss. Girls basketball followed with intramural and interscholastic competition, and the first team was undefeated. Ping pong playoffs ran simultaneously, as did the swimming program. 30 girls played on school hockey squads, and many more turned out later in the spring for tennis and track. GAA boasts the membership of Joan Heater, who has held the national shot put record, and Sue Graham, who won the state tennis championship for 2 years in a row.
Besides athletic success, our extracurricular program also included the state runner-up chess team and a district champion forensics team. The future business leaders are currently campaigning toward a trip to their national convention at Cincinnati. Thespians, under the direction of Joe Malango, produced 2 outstanding plays, one with a female cast and one all male. The fall term play, Cradle Song, was set in a French convent. Here is a part of the story.
I was always singing and dancing, although we were very poor. My mother went out every day to wash in the river or to do housework. She had so many children, and I was always carrying one about in my arms. And when I entered here, as I could do, thanks to some good ladies who collected the money from my dowry, God rewarded them for it. Although I had a real vocation, I was sorrowful and homesick thinking of my little brothers and sisters. Oh, how I used to cry in the dark corners. I never dared to say a word. And then the mother told me that if my melancholy didn't leave me, she would be obliged to send me home.
The winter term play was a wartime drama set in a German prison camp and entitled Stalag 17. The all-male cast put on a very entertaining assembly for the play in a joint effort with the Letterman's Club, Blue Sea, who did a James Bond skit in honor of Corvallis' entry into the state basketball playoffs.
The Corvallis High Forensics team brought home more speech trophies this year than ever before. Our first major victories came in the Linfield College Tournament, when hours of preparation and practice rewarded Leah Carr with second place and Roger Aiken with both first and second place trophies. The highlight of the forensics year came when at the district meet. There, outstanding performances by Myra Belknap, Tom Tetford, Bill Furtick, Lynn Darrell, Willa Runkle, Diana Picht, and our debate team of Eric Blackledge, George Moser, and Roger Aiken won for CHS our first district championship. This familiar sound signaled the start of a typical school day at CHS. For about a fourth of our student body, the first bell rang at 7:40, the beginning of zero period. The rest of us started class at 8:40 and were still probing the mysteries of science or English lit when the zero hour students went home at 2:30. We are now going to relive a typical school day at CHS, and like all days, this one begins with a morning bulletin.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We have the daily bulletin for Tuesday, April the 27th. The newly appointed members of next year's Shintimini staff must see Mr. Conrad this week to let him know what class they are dropping to work on Shintimini. There will be an important senior high Y meeting tonight in room 303 at 7 o'clock. Election of officers for the coming year will be held. Everyone should be in attendance. There is an installation practice for officers Wednesday at 8 a.m. on the stage. Please be on time at 8 o'clock. Item number 4 in today's bulletin has a number of names of girls who should report to the rear of the auditorium at 9 o'clock. Please check this list in each classroom. FBLA, attention, your banquet money is now due. Pay Leah Carr or one of the advisors. That is all.
Foreign languages are very popular here at CHS. We have Spanish, French, and German. Let's listen now to one of Mrs. Vineyard's German classes as they enjoy a little singing.
Jetzt singen wir S, 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 und S.
Sometimes student council meetings were held during a morning period. Each class sent its elected representative to participate in this exercise of democratic government. Student council meetings were presided over by President John Pittman and Secretary Ann Truax. The executive council included Vice President David Livingston, Treasurer Lois Raymond, Girls League President Judy Rice, Boys League President Lynn Darrell, Matt Baines, President of the sophomore class, Bob Winger, President of the junior class, and Senior class President Alan Sharpneck. When student council was not in session, student body headquarters were in the student body office, a place of constant activity. $170,000 passed through the office this year. Rally bus tickets were sold there during football season and basketball seasons. A free phone is usually available there, and more than two dozen of Corvallis High's activity clubs have accounts in the student body books, to mention just a few reasons for this constant activity.
Lunch hour was divided into three half-hour periods to accommodate the expanding enrollment at CHS, which now totals 1,450. Noontime activities, besides eating lunch, included the sale of senior class almond roca and the sale of milkshakes from the Girls League milkshake machine. Even Dill Pickles entered the scene when FBLA began financing their trip to Cincinnati.
CHS is proud of its modern science wing with its classroom laboratories and up-to-date materials for study. We are equally proud of the conscientious teachers and of our outstanding science students. Let's drop in on an average period in Mr. Tweet's Chemistry 1 class.
Can you see a general trend in those? Upward. Okay. I think if any one word to express it, they're upward. And we see the coordinates of this little graph says that the solubility in grams per thousand, which means that there would be more grams dissolved at a higher temperature, right? More grams at a higher temperature for any one of these several salts. Okay. Now, is it exactly the same for all of them, Pat?
Yes.
It's different for all of them. And so you'd get some going up at a rather rapid rate and some at a rather gentle rate for the solubility of these salts. Only one in this chart is a straight line, if you can see it. Can you see it, Tony? You see that potassium chloride in here?
Yeah.
That's a straight line. Mm-hmm.
Despite the fun and challenge of the classroom, most of us were pretty relieved when the bell rang at 3:30 and another day had come to a close.